This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Stimulus approved. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Tuesday, December 22nd, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Congress has easily passed a coronavirus aid package that includes direct payments to individuals. Direct deposits will begin next week.
Medical experts say the COVID vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna will likely be just as effective against the newly detected strain of the coronavirus.
The Attorney General says he won't appoint a special counsel to investigate President Trump's claims of election fraud or allegations against Hunter Biden.
And for the dads who took on more childcare duties while working from home, what happens when they go back to the office? Some are reprioritizing.
So what he did is he split that into 1 hour a day where he would go out and play catch with his five-year-old. They'd go out and chop firewood and that type of thing. And he says that if he ever took on a new job, now that we're getting back to normal in the next few months, that is something that he would really expect.
Charisse Jones at USA Today on how a vaccine might change childcare responsibilities for working dads. Congress has overwhelmingly voted in favor of a new coronavirus relief package. The House and Senate each passed the $900 billion measure by wide margins last evening. It provides another round of direct checks of $600 per adult and $600 per child, adds $300 to weekly unemployment payments for 11 weeks, while extending two other unemployment programs, and supplies more than $300 billion in relief for small businesses, including a second round of the Paycheck Protection Program. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
With a new president-elect of their own party, everything changed. Democrats suddenly came around to our position that we should find consensus, make a law where we agree, and get urgent help out the door.
The package includes $25 billion in rental assistance, extends a moratorium on evictions, and approves $13 billion in funds for food stamp and child nutrition benefits. Democratic leaders say they'll push for more assistance next year once President-elect Joe Biden is sworn into office. A new strain or variant of the coronavirus is spreading across the UK, sparking fears across the globe. At this point, it has not been detected in the US, but it is drawing attention as vaccines are being rolled out. Christina Tan, New Jersey's state epidemiologist, noted that viruses frequently mutate and there is no evidence to suggest the variant would affect vaccination efforts. Meanwhile, California Governor Gavin Newsom said yesterday he would likely extend his state's stay-at-home order, which is set to expire next Wednesday. The state's Department of Public Health said yesterday both the San Joaquin Valley and Southern California saw no intensive care unit capacity in hospitals. In New England, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker.
If the second holiday season produces a surge in infections that we saw that's similar to the one that came out of Thanksgiving, we'll be in serious danger of overwhelming our healthcare system.
Also encouraging the public to get vaccinated, President-elect Joe Biden received the COVID-19 vaccine yesterday. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. I recently spoke with Josh Hunt, their executive VP and chief business development officer. Check out the interview at thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. The beer industry, struggling restaurants, and federal workers forced into President Trump's payroll tax deferral all stand to gain from the year-end congressional agreement reached over the weekend as part of a broader budget proposal. Behind the numbers with Richard Rubin, tax policy reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Rich, what's in it?
So there's a bunch of tax items in this deal that you can all sort of break into two categories. One is pieces that are very much tied to supporting the economy for the pandemic. And the other pieces, tax items that have kind of been lingering for months and years and were set to expire. And, you know, this is Congress attaching stuff they would probably do anyway to a moving legislative train and getting it done.
Okay. So start with your reference early on in your piece about kind of these lunch write-offs.
Yeah. So that's something that the president has wanted for quite a while, the ability to allow full deductibility of business meals at restaurants up from 50% deductibility, which has been the law for quite a while now. And he finally got it in this agreement. That was one of the things that the White House was able to ask for and get. If that's for 2021 and 2022, you can sort of think about it differently. Like at the moment, you can see why there's some consternation about trying to encourage people to go to restaurants, given the risks of indoor dining right now. But on the other hand, like once the vaccine is widespread enough, there is going to be some desire to spur more spending at restaurants. So you can kind of look at that one both ways.
All right. How about the Social Security payroll tax deferral, too? This was set to potentially hurt some folks, although in theory they've, I guess, you know, had a slight raise, if you want to position it that way, since it went into effect.
Right. So this is the payroll tax deferral that started in September, where workers would have less taken out of their paychecks, but then would have double withholding of Social Security taxes in the first 4 months of 2021. Very few employers did it, but the federal government did. And so now what this bill is likely to do is to extend that payback period to 12 months. So all of 2021, so people would have more time to, instead of having double withholding, they sort of have withholding and then a little bit more. So it sort of eases the burden a bit on federal workers, including members of the military.
We're speaking with Richard Rubin, tax policy writer at The Wall Street Journal, about his story entitled Brewers, Restaurants, and Federal Workers Set for Tax Wins in Congressional Deal. How about some of those tax breaks that were due to expire at the end of this year, this month?
Yeah, so one of those is the alcohol tax breaks that brewers and distillers have really wanted. They got these lower excise tax rates, particularly for smaller producers, as part of the 2017 tax law, but they were set to expire. Those are going to be extended permanently. There's breaks for investing in low-income areas, breaks for hiring workers from disadvantaged groups. Those will get five-year extensions. The ability to deduct medical expenses as an itemized deduction. There's a more generous version and a less generous version. The more generous one was set to expire. That's now going to be extended permanently. And there's a bunch of other sort of cats and dogs of renewable energy and a bunch of other things that are relatively common for Congress to do. And some get one-year extensions, some get these five-year extensions, and very few, if any, are going to actually expire as scheduled.
And then touch a little bit, too, on the child tax credit and the earned income tax credit. What happens there?
Yeah, this is one thing that Democrats really pushed for. The way those low-income tax credit, the way those tax credits work for many low-income households is that the credit, if your income goes down, the value of your credit can go down because the credit sort of can operate as a bit of a wage subsidy. So what they've done is, given that many people had their incomes go down in 2020, they want, the goal here for Congress was to try and prevent the credits from going down. So taxpayers will have the choice of using their 2019 incomes, which if that's going to let them qualify for a larger child tax credit or a larger earned income tax credit. So that's going to be really important to a lot of low-income households, and it'll make tax season a little bit more complicated for them, but there certainly would be potentially more money at the end of the day.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Richard Rubin, tax policy reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, an update on damage from Russian hackers. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. A high-ranking senator says suspected Russian hackers compromised dozens of Treasury Department email accounts and breached the office that houses its top officials as part of a broad campaign targeting several critical federal government agencies. Ron Wyden of Oregon, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee, also told the Wall Street Journal that hackers had broken into systems belonging to the division that's home to Treasury's highest-ranking officials. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Wyden says the Treasury Department doesn't know all the activity the hackers engaged in or precisely what information was stolen. Separately, the hackers reportedly broke into about 36 email accounts since June at the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. It wasn't clear what the hackers were after, but the journal says it could range from general intelligence gathering to a mass email leak in the future, or material that could be used to more easily wage future cyber attacks. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Attorney General William Barr yesterday joined the widening consensus among intelligence officials and cybersecurity experts that Russia is responsible for what is considered to be one of the worst ever hacks of federal computer systems. President Trump has suggested China could be responsible. 19 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Congress passed a $900 billion pandemic relief package that will finally deliver some long-sought cash to businesses and individuals and resources to vaccinate a nation confronting a frightening surge in COVID-19 cases and deaths. Lawmakers tacked on a $1.4 trillion catch-all spending bill and thousands of pages of other end-of-session business in a massive bundle of bipartisan legislation as Capitol Hill prepared to close the books on the year. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
It doesn't go all the way, but it takes us down the path, a first step.
The bill is awaiting President Trump's signature.
Number two.
Initial shots of a second COVID-19 vaccine authorized in the U.S. from Moderna are underway. President-elect Joe Biden was vaccinated yesterday.
I'm doing this to demonstrate that people should be prepared when it's available to take the vaccine. There's nothing to worry about.
Number three.
Undercutting President Trump on several fronts, Attorney General William Barr says he saw no reason to appoint a special counsel to look into the president's claims about the election or to name one for the tax investigation of Hunter Biden.
It's being handled responsibly and professionally currently within the department. And to this point, I have not seen a reason to appoint a special counsel, and I have no plan to do so before I leave.
In his final public appearance as a member of Trump's cabinet, Barr also reinforced the belief of federal officials that Russia was behind a massive hack of U.S. government agencies, not China, as the president has suggested. More than 70 cadets at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point have been accused of cheating on a math exam, the worst academic scandal since the 70s at the academy. 58 cadets admitted cheating on the exam, which was administered remotely. Most of them will be on probation for the remainder of their time at the academy. Others have resigned, and some face hearings that could result in their expulsion. When the NBA season tips off tonight with the Lakers among the teams in action as they face the Clippers, it will mark the end of the shortest preseason in U.S. pro sporting history. It was just 72 days ago that the Lakers won the NBA title in Disney World. They'll get their rings tonight, but the Staples Center will be empty.
I thought we were still in the middle of the NBA playoffs. I guess I lost track.
It is just a blur.
Crazy. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
With the first COVID-19 vaccines rolling out, life may soon return to some semblance of normal as parents who worked from home because their workplaces or children's schools were shuttered increasingly go back to the office. But some dads who took on a bigger share of chores and childcare during the pandemic and enjoyed more quality time with their kids may not want to return to their old routines. Now what? Here's Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Charisse, what's up here?
Mothers are the ones that took on the bulk of the burden, and it's had a real devastating impact on women in the workplace. But it is also true that more dads began to take on more chores, more child care, and it's something that a lot of them really enjoyed. 45% of couples before the pandemic shared those child care tasks about equally, and that went up to 56% during the pandemic. And so you've got a lot of fathers now who are like, when they go back to the office, some of them are saying they want to maintain that flexibility, they want to have that quality time, and they do want to help out more at home. Whether employers are going to embrace that remains to be seen.
Yeah. But to that point, there was a 30-year-old father of three from Virginia, I think it was, who told you if he were to take a new gig, he would really expect that the new employer would offer some sort of, work from home or child flexibility. That has become important to him now.
Right. It's become kind of a deal breaker. I mean, he basically had been working from home part of the time even before the pandemic. But after the pandemic, he was at the house full time. He's got three small kids, ages 5 and under. And he talked about how his employer, who's been very supportive, actually told them that he wanted them to take off one day of PTO every other week. So what he did is he split that into 1 hour a day, where he would go out and play catch with his 5-year-old. They'd go out and chop firewood and that type of thing. And he says that if he ever took on a new job, that is something that he would really expect. And if an employer wasn't offering it, he would look at that as a red flag.
We're speaking with Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. And she's written an interesting piece entitled, Dads Took On More Child Care During the Pandemic. Will a vaccine end that? Also, since you touched on a little bit, broadly speaking, are we hearing that employers are thinking differently about, let's say, dads at home with children?
You know, I think because it's all so new right now in terms of people are just now trying to figure out the game plan for 2021, we really don't know. I mean, I think that it's probably going to be something that's more permanent because a lot of folks are not going to necessarily go back to offices. I think more people are going to work from home because it's cheaper for companies and it's worked out well. And in doing that, they're going to have to figure out some new metrics in terms of flexibility, in terms of giving parents breaks during the day and how they accommodate them if they want that kind of flexibility. But I think that's the really big question mark. A lot of the surveys that were done about the child care sharing at home were done at the start of the pandemic, for instance, but not in the last couple of months. So we'll find out more, I think, in the new year.
Right. There was also an important question asked in one of the breakouts of your story, and that was, did COVID create a new kind of dad?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There have been surveys done in the past that found that when dads took a leave of absence after their partner had a child, they tended to do more at home, and then when they went back to work, they continued to do more at home. And so that gives you a window into once you have that new expectation, a lot of folks want to keep up with it. But, you know, we've also got to face the fact that some dads are going to be, they want to take that first train back to normal, as one of the people I spoke to said. You know, they don't want to stick with this new routine. They want it to be like it was in 2018.
Thanks, Charisse. Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Steve Jobs used to talk about how much time and energy we waste picking out clothes every day. That's especially true in the work-from-home era that we're in now. But just because a suit's not required doesn't mean you want to get so casual you look like you just rolled out of bed. Cuts Clothing has the perfect answer. You don't need to choose your outfit. Just throw on a Cuts shirt or polo, some pants, and you look professional and feel amazingly comfortable. The quality you need for business, the comfort you want for anything else, home or away. And for winter, their new hoodies made with custom Hyperloop French Terry fabric are essential. They spent 4 years getting them just right. I love that they're soft, comfortable, warm, and made for the long haul. Try one on. You'll be a Cuts Clothing customer for life. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. Seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, December 22nd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Congress approves a coronavirus relief bill with direct deposits for individuals beginning next week. Current vaccines expected to work against the new variant of the coronavirus. A federal judge in Houston today will hear arguments from states trying to end the DACA program that protects some illegals. Kilauea volcano still erupting on the Big Island of Hawaii. Bengals over the Steelers in Monday Night Football. And the most wholesome post on Twitter today involves a 90-year-old man. That story in about 20 minutes. Washington right now is abuzz with talk that President Trump may spend his days in office on a pardon spree, preemptively absolving everyone, including close associates, family members, and even himself. Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times, says the pardon is one of the most potent powers invested in a president, but it does have limits. Jeff, what would happen here?
Well, the president, he can technically pardon himself, and it would stick until somebody challenges it. And when somebody challenges it, it'll either be through a subpoena or potentially a criminal investigation. Then this is going to go to the courts, and there we're going to find that this is on shaky legal ground. The reason he can pardon himself and has to wait for it to be challenged is because the Constitution never says whether or not a president can pardon themselves, and the issue's never been resolved by the courts. So it's a legal gray area. But Constitution law experts I talk to point to provisions in the Constitution that say if this went before a court, it would not withstand legal scrutiny.
Interesting. All right. So there are limits, as you said, to a president being able to pardon himself. What are they?
Well, the limits to a president being able to pardon himself is, one, it only would apply, if it were to hold up, it would only apply to federal crimes. And it would not apply to state charges. So it would protect Mr. Trump and anybody he issues a pardon to from an investigation by Joe Biden's Justice Department, but it would not protect him from some of the ongoing investigations conducted by the New York State Attorney General and the District Attorney in Manhattan. The other limitation is it only covers alleged crimes committed before the pardon was issued. Even if an investigation hasn't begun, but the activity predates the pardon, he's protected. But any future conduct that comes up or anything that may happen that investigators would seize on would not protect anybody who receives a pardon.
Wow. We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, Justice Department correspondent at The Washington Times. His piece is called Potential Trump Self-Pardon on Shaky Legal Ground as Left-Leaning Prosecutors Loom. What about Vice President Mike Pence issuing a pardon? How would that work?
Well, there's two ways that could happen. And any pardon issued by Pence as president would be bulletproof and would withstand legal scrutiny in the courts. There's two ways. The first way is President Trump could resign and Mike Pence would come in as president and pardon him. That's what happened in the 70s when Richard Nixon resigned and Gerald Ford came in and immediately pardoned him. Now, there's another path, which is a bit murkier. It would withstand legal scrutiny, but it would certainly raise a lot of questions. Is the President Trump could claim he's incapacitated and invoke the 25th Amendment. That would transfer all the power of the presidency, including the ability to issue pardons, to Mike Pence. And then Mike Pence could grant President Trump the clemency. And then Trump could restrict the 25th Amendment and say, I'm back, I'm no longer incapacitated, and return to his duties. It's acceptable, but it's a much more complex way of doing this as opposed to just flat resigning and Mike Pence becomes president.
Boy, how does this complicate things then with these various scenarios if President Trump were to decide he wanted to run again in 2024?
One way I think it would complicate the issue is voters will look at this as an admission of guilt. Technically, it's not, and the Supreme Court said in a 1915 opinion that pardons are noncommittal on guilt. It's the equivalent of silence. It's not an admission of guilt. But I think the public and the voters would look at it as such, and I think that could really damage his campaign. One of the things I find very interesting is President Trump has sort of been on both sides of the fence. He's floated the idea of a self-pardon on a few occasions going back to 2018. At the same time, he's insisted he doesn't need a pardon because he hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
So what he chooses to do is basically going to be what he thinks is the best scenario for running in 2024.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, another bizarre fast food burger topping. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know the real Santa is an expert at flying, and he'd have to be to cover as much ground as he does in one night every year. But just because you put on a Santa suit doesn't mean you automatically have the same skill set. That lesson was learned the hard way by a California man who, while impersonating Saint Nick, got into some trouble while flying through the air on Sunday in a powered parachute. The FAA says the incident happened shortly after the man took off near a school in Rio Linda on Sunday to deliver candy canes to children in his community. He flew into a maze of power lines and wound up suspended in them. Thankfully, the man, who was not identified, was not injured. Power had to be shut off temporarily to area residents while the man was being rescued. The fire department took to Twitter to reassure kids that Santa was okay, writing, "Without a scratch and full of good cheer, we made sure old Saint Nick will use his reindeer when he sees you later this year."
Jeez.
I mean, you know, into power lines. That could have ended just horribly.
Right. You used a couple of phrases that I knew that this story was going south in a hurry when you said impersonating Saint Nick.
Yeah.
And then you followed up with the phrase powered parachute.
Right.
I thought, oh no.
Right.
And now this is not going to be good.
Yeah. Now he apparently does this all the time. Okay. So he's somewhat of an expert using this powered parachute. But
I see.
An expert can, I guess things can occasionally go awry. I think things went south when I mentioned that the FAA was involved.
Yeah. Yes, that's it.
Yeah. That's generally not a good thing.
Google Maps apparently does not map out where power lines are when you're flying it. 200 feet or 100 feet, whatever it is.
Bad news. And we know that fast food chains often sell different items in stores overseas than they do here to try to appeal to local culture and tastes. But this is strange even by those standards. McDonald's is getting attention this week for selling a new burger in China made of Spam and topped with Oreo cookies. The limited edition burger, which sells for about $2, was part of a members-only promotion. The burger is made of two extra thick slices of Spam, crushed Oreo cookies, and topped with a creamy white sauce that some have speculated to be mayonnaise. The unique combination, along with a photo making the rounds on the internet, has prompted users on social media and one prominent U.S. politician to raise their eyebrows. One Twitter user took one look and declared, "Well, I know what my nightmares are going to look like tonight." Senator Ted Cruz retweeted the photo of the creation with the caption, "Humanity is doomed." Others weren't so quick to dismiss it, claiming they had tried it and it was delicious.
Really? Wow.
That
one's puzzling. I'm all for the bizarre combos. Some of these are just weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
crushed
sure.
Crushed Oreos on Spam?
Yeah, like who came up with that? Yeah. And then some people thought maybe that white stuff they put on it would have been some kind of sweet, sugary icing or something like that,
Yeah.
which I think I would be much more apt to try than putting mayonnaise on top of all that. Mayonnaise and Oreos sounds just like the most revolting thing I can think of.
It's strange. And by the way, what is this members-only thing tied to McDonald's?
Yeah.
That means I get some of these taste testing opportunities, I'm all in.
Why don't they bring that here, is what you're saying. Why keep this only in China?
How about that knock on your door, right? Hey, McDonald's members only person, here's a new something to try.
Right. Here's this month's wacky creation.
Speaking of burgers, so I grilled on the grill last night.
Okay.
And my son wanted two burgers, only got through one and a quarter.
Yeah.
So there's three quarters of a burger, and I don't eat that late at night,
right?
But I have already teed that thing up for a fried egg this morning when I get home from the show. That is what you do to a burger.
Yes. But have you made sure to, kind of push it to the side so that nobody else can get it? Is it like hidden under stuff in the fridge?
Everybody knows.
You don't want anybody else to kind of get there before you do today.
Well, nobody's having that before noon except me anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
So to take off the bun, retoast the bun,
microwave
the burger just a little bit to heat it up. And then throw the egg on it. Yeah, it's going to be good.
You do have a plan in place.
Good breakfast. Thanks, Mike. Hey, glad you're with us. The new coronavirus relief bill approved last night by Congress serves as cover for any number of goodies. Reuters uncovered some of them. Number one, the bill establishes two new Smithsonian Institution museums, a Women's History Museum, and a National Museum of the American Latino. Number two, the bill repeals several criminal laws that are rarely, if ever, enforced. People who transport water chestnut plants across state lines would no longer face prison time. And motorists who put bogus theft protection decals on their cars would no longer face fines. And number three, the bill blocks the planned sale of Plum Island, a former federal research facility off the eastern tip of New York's Long Island that had been due to be auctioned off. It is considered a prime wildlife habitat. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The massive year-end catch-all bill Congress has passed combines $900 billion in COVID-19 aid with a $1.4 trillion spending bill and reams of other unfinished legislation on taxes, energy, education, and health care. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The American people have waited long enough. I'm glad for our country that we're now moving ahead together.
The measure awaits President Trump's signature.
Number two.
The government is considering requiring that all passengers traveling from the UK receive a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours of departure as a condition of entry. A White House coronavirus task force discussed requiring pre-flight tests after a meeting yesterday regarding the emergence of a highly infectious new coronavirus strain in Britain that prompted dozens of countries to close their borders to Britain, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
We looked at where the new variant was, where it was spreading, and acted to restrict it there.
Airlines operating flights from London to JFK have voluntarily agreed to a request from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo that they only allow passengers who test negative to fly.
Number three.
Dozens of email accounts at the Treasury Department were compromised in a massive breach of U.S. government agencies being blamed on Russia, with hackers breaking into systems used by the department's highest-ranking officials. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon says the hack appears to be significant. A court hearing today over a U.S. program shielding immigrants brought to the country illegally as children highlights the peril the program still faces, even under an incoming Democratic president who has pledged to protect it. A federal judge in Houston will hear arguments from Texas and eight other states seeking to end DACA, which provides limited protections to about 650,000 people. The ruling is not expected during the hearing. And Walmart is attempting to solve one of the biggest pains related to online shopping, the dreaded return, with a new service. The retailer says it will pick up items shipped and sold by Walmart.com from customers' homes through a new partnership with FedEx. Walmart says the option is free and will remain in place beyond the busy holiday shopping season.
Well, that confirms that you never have to leave your home now.
Exactly.
You work from home, shop from home, do deliveries from home.
You barely have to open the door.
Yeah. I mean, all you have to do now is just Zoom call your friends. Yep. You can live in complete isolation. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
This year, Michigan businesses have had to adapt, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation was right there alongside them, helping to connect businesses to new resources, meet new partners, and access the additional capital they needed right from the start. If your business needs support to reach its new potential, the MEDC is available to help in any way we can. Contact us today for customized business assistance at michiganbusiness.org/partnership.
Thanks for being with us. A 90-year-old man recently requested that photos from an impromptu photo shoot be shared to social media in honor of his birthday, even though he's not on social media. Twitter user Karen Aaliyah explained in a post on Twitter. Not surprisingly, Twitter loved it. Her message went viral with nearly 700,000 likes. In three photos, her dad posed with a piano and hugged his Yorkie. Ms. Aaliyah revealed that the dog is named Delilah. His favorite books are by John Grisham, and his favorite album is Tony Bennett with Lady Gaga. Even Tony Bennett responded with a birthday wish on Twitter for the man. One fan praised the pictures as the most wholesome post on the internet. From there, Ms. Aaliyah said her brother explained to their father just how far and wide his birthday bulletin went, adding that her dad was proud to make an impact during this trying time. Inspired, other Twitter users posted photos of their special elderly loved one. Some even playfully tried to set up this 90-year-old man with a date. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.